Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. This is episode 20. I'm Jonathan Charney here with my co-host,
Shane Northrup.
Today we're going to be talking about the Denver Airport, new headphones, Nintendo, and more. So we're just going to go straight off the bat, and for the first time in history, you're going to want to go to the airport. Trust me on this one. The Denver Airport is rolling out nearly 10,000 charging outlets, so you're no longer going to have to struggle or mug somebody for that wall socket they're plugging into. The $4.7 million project began last November, adding 2,424 powered hubs, and that's in quotation marks. Each featured two standard 120-volt outlet plugs, along with two USB receptacles, and a total of 9,696 individual charging points were added, according to the airport. Now, the Denver says new charging stations provide nearby power options in virtually every public seating area on the concourse. Finally, I've been in airports and, you know, your phone is literally on the verge of dying and, you know, you've got like a 5.5 hour flight left. And by the way, this is why you guys need to stop by your local big box store of choice and get a portable battery. They're measured in milliamp hours. Get the biggest or the biggest milliamp hour you can afford. Just warning, let you know, the more milliamp hours you get, the more you're going to need a purse or backpack to carry one. What do you think?
Well, do you ever watch the show Portlandia, John?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I don't have enough time to watch a whole episode, believe it or not.
I believe it. Now, one of the episodes that they have was about a hotel or a little motel that had outlets everywhere. So there was like outlets in the pillow, outlets in the books, just outlets everywhere. There was an outlet in the sink, and they're like, yeah, don't use the sink. So they have outlets everywhere, and they charge you out the wazoo just to use the hotel. It's a little funny skit that they do. So that's what that reminds me of, because I'm imagining just like outlets along the wall for the whole wall.
See, I'm jazzed. Now, the last time I flew, it was on my honeymoon. And I remember, I think it was a Dallas-Fort Worth airport has these, I think it was them, it was another airport then, basically had these towers that were sitting behind everywhere that you literally plugged into.
Interesting.
I don't remember them having USB ports, but they did have the wall sockets. The security conscious geek in me would never recommend using the USB outlets. Mainly because if anybody nefarious got a hold of it, I don't think it'd be too hard to, for example, make that hack you.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm starting to see more and more, even in like commercial homes and things like that, they're starting to put in the USB outlet.
Yeah, see, I'm always like, the best thing is, say, if you know, if this is your house and you're putting in the wall outlet, I actually get a chance to take a look at the mechanism. No, granted, if there's any sort of computer chip on there, you know, I don't know how to take apart that program. I could probably find a way how to get to download and depilot. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm very cautious about USB anything if it's not in my own home. But it's about bloody time.
Well, I think with the USB thing, it's more of a, you know how you got your little adapter that turns your USB thing into a charger? I think it's the same technology. So I think it's essentially the same as just plugging it in.
Oh, no. It's just, it's one of these, you know, my tinfoil hat thing goes on. It's it's basically what I called safe computing. It's one of those things for me that if you feel comfortable, if you feel safe, be my guest. You know, you totally should if you feel comfortable doing or you have no choice. But for me, it's always in the back of my mind going, okay, is something going to happen here? Granted, a phone and some phones are easier to hack than others. Android specifically is a little bit more easier because of the permissions base than iPhone, for example.
Also depending on the maker of the Android.
Oh, yeah. The age of phone, too, has to matter, but I'm excited. I hate looking for an outlet, you know, or a plug, you know, whether it's McDonald's, Starbucks, you're going to, you know, your local airport. It's exciting. Now, the question is, like, say if you're in, I don't know, the Delta seating area waiting for a flight, how often are these little towers? Are they every so many seats, or are they only so many per how large square feet that particular concourse is?
Right.
That's the question I want to know.
Yeah, that's a good question to ask.
I really am jazzed about it. I can't wait to see it happen next time I go flying.
So, Jonathan, I'm just kind of curious. What's your favorite headphones that you own right now?
My favorite that still work are my Sennheisers.
Nice.
They're a fully enclosed over-the-ear headphone, and they roughly block out like 25% of ambient noise.
Oh, wow.
Which is perfect for when I'm like editing video or listening to like my favorite musician, for example.
So I always get, for me, I like to get the cheap JVC headphones because I need to be able to hear what's going on around me while I'm using my headphones on set. So I do a lot of boom op and I do a lot of boom opping and I do a lot of production audio on video sets, so like commercials, short films, that sort of thing.
So you'd prefer like an open to semi-open, say like one of my favorite headphones of all time is the AKG 240s.
Oh, AKGs are amazing. I had a pair of those and those were great. But I like to be able to hear what's going on around me. So, and a lot of times when you're on set, you can end up, headphones take a bit of damage when you're out and about and doing, you know, field work. So I usually like to get something a little bit cheaper, like JVC, and something that where I can hear what's going on around me. So that way I don't, you know, end up being in anybody's way. That way I don't end up tripping over things and that sort of thing. It's nice to have your sense of hearing. Well, one of the things that's coming out right now is the Core Bone Conduction Bluetooth headset. So you will be able to enjoy all of your music and still be able to hear the world around you.
Now, I've heard about this off and on probably last 20-ish years. I remember hearing about this probably in the mid to late 90s. Never saw any in person, though.
Well, it's like one of those things. Do you remember those toothbrushes, like the sound bites?
Yes.
Where, like, you'd brush your teeth and you could hear the music while you're playing because you play it through your teeth?
I specifically remember a Justin Bieber and thinking, man, I know a few people I'd love to torture this with.
What they're boasting right now is patented transducers that are bone conducting technology that convey apparently crystal clear sound to your inner ears. So what these do is they allow you to fully hear your surroundings and talk with your friends while you listen to your music in the background. They're water resistant, so they can play your soundtrack anywhere. You don't really have to worry about sweat or anything bothering them. They're a lightweight titanium memory metal that provides a comfortable and durable fit during exercise, travel, and everyday wear. So Bluetooth technology makes it to where you also don't have to trip over your wires and stuff. I know some of the times when I'm listening to music, the headphone wires can get in the way, and it can cause a big problem. Even like the quarter-inch jack, the little jack can get all messed up. So that's a big problem. So these things are going for $96.97. So that's $96.97, which is actually a pretty decent deal for a pair of expensive headphones. I know Bose and even Sennheiser, like you were saying, can go anywhere from like $70 to $200, $300 for a really good pair of headphones.
Yeah, and then it depends on if they're for, say, just music enjoyment or studio use. Like true studio headphones that are very neutral are outrageously expensive. But by the way, if anybody has a chance to actually say borrow a friend's for an afternoon, if he won't kill you to do it, they're amazing. Hearing music as the artist intended, not the headphone manufacturer intended, is a real treat if you get a chance.
It's an eye-opening experience. It really is. So one of the things that's important to notice, they have a rechargeable battery that lasts for 6 hours on a single charge.
That's not too bad.
And it's ready again after a two-hour charge.
Now, do you wear it over the head like a...
That's a really interesting question. I think you wear it around your neck. But I could be wrong. I'm not exactly 100% sure how you wear these things. And one of the things that you should also note is it's water resistant, not waterproof. I can't tell you how many people, you know, talk about, well, my watch was water resistant, or it said water resistant, and they jump in a pool with their phone or something, and it's
legally speaking, I didn't think you were allowed to say waterproof.
No, I don't think you are.
Because nothing is, because everything has a limitation. Like, I remember having a watch that said, oh, you can take it down to 300 meters. It's like, what, 600 feet?
Yeah, don't do that.
You know? And so even the Apple Watch, the iWatch, excuse me, says, oh, yeah, it's water resistant. I don't even take the thing in the shower because I'm afraid of it's going to melt on me.
Well, one of the things that you should, like, I think the only thing that they can actually claim is waterproof is, like, those little rubber shoes they make for kitchens.
the safe slip ones.
Yeah.
Because there's no electronics. You don't have to worry about catching your feet on fire. So,
but, hey, in the future, they could be electric.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go into a hard break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about video games.
See you in a bit.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be.
So, Jonathan, what did you think of the Nintendo's new Wii U?
I'll be honest. I didn't get a whole lot of chance to play it. The only thing I was really wondering how well it does is that giant iPad-looking controller. I like the Wii specifically because, unlike a lot of consoles, it makes you exercise more. However, I was not a fan of any of the games except Wii Sports.
Yeah, the Wii, they had a couple decent shooters, but they were all railway style. So it was like, I might as well just go pop some coins into my little machines down in, you know, my favorite pizza place or whatever. So, or play some House of the Dead. But Nintendo has claimed that they've got a new console coming out called the NX. And it hasn't exactly been a secret, but, you know, they haven't really released a whole lot of details.
So it's like the iPhone. It's the worst kept secret ever.
Yeah. So the NX has long been rumored as a portable console of some sort. So what it does is basically you can carry it around kind of like your Nintendo 3DS, but it has ports in the side, so that way you can hook it up to a docking station, plug in your controllers, and play it as if it on your TV as if it were a regular console, which isn't something that's necessarily new, because even back in the old Nintendo days, you could hook up a cartridge with your little Game Boy games and be able to play it on your Nintendo. So it's not exactly a new idea.
To quote the movie, There Will Be Blood, it sounds like they're drinking their own milkshake a little bit. It sounds like they're going to be removing sales of their Game Boy by having something like this.
Right, and you know, in all honesty, the Wii U isn't a terrible console. It's a lot better than the Wii was. The Wii U is a lot more, and granted, the exercise element is pretty much gone.
Really?
Yeah, so the Wii U has their little pad, and you can do things with a little pad, but you don't need to use the little pad. They come with, like, Xbox-type controllers, too.
So they found out that not everybody wanted to accidentally throw a controller at their $1,000 television, then.
Yeah. So my friend Miguel has one, and I got to play a little bit. And, like, the games aren't bad. You've got, like, Mario Kart. You get all your basic standard games.
A couple of frames of thought, if you don't mind me just kind of sidetracking for a little bit. I love the idea of having a screen in front of you. For example, Fallout 4 has this companion app that you can play. So what I'll do is I'll put my iPad in front of me, and it'll actually be your menu, your inventory. You can switch back and forth. It works really well.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't even realize you'd do that.
So I love the idea of that, of having more interactive experience, having a second screen experience. The only issue is, by the looks of it, I've never used it, that controller looks very ungainly.
Oh, so God, it's a wonky piece of
junk.
So I don't know. I really don't know how well, for example, a Bethesda game that requires hand-eye coordination, it requires, in my opinion, a controller that fits well in both hands.
Yeah, this thing is pretty bulky. Like, the one that comes with the Wii is a pretty good size. But like I said, they also make like an Xbox type controller for it. So if you don't really want to be using the little pad, you don't have to. And they make some pretty good games for it. It's not terrible. But one of the things that's kind of scary about the NX is it doesn't sound like it's going to be having the best specs.
I see, at this point in time, I don't think Nintendo's going for the standard gamer, for example, because they're never going to beat up, for one, one of the largest software companies in the world being Microsoft, and one of the largest entertainment corporations in the world being Sony.
Right.
You're not going to beat out them using x86 and all the hardware.
They're not even like thinking about 4K.
So here's what I'm thinking. I think, and this is what I actually tell friends of mine who ask which console to get when they tell me I have young kids, the Nintendo is the perfect console for children. Because kids, for example, don't really care about graphics quality. They want fun games. And Mario is like the perfect kids game. No offense to people out there.
Well, and one of the things that's interesting about Nintendo, too, is a lot of their games are more, instead of being photorealistic, like what PlayStation and Xbox is always trying to do, the games are more stylized.
Yeah, they're cel shaded, they're cartoony. A lot of them are platformers. Matter of fact, all of them I think are platformers. At least all the first party ones are.
Most of them. But so one of the things that they report is that it will be using an NVIDIA Tegra processor for its brains. So it'll probably be a little bit similar to NVIDIA's line of Shield devices. So I mean, it's not the best quality, you know, and when you compare it up to, like, you know, the Xbox Project Scorpio or the PS4K or all of the other little cool things that are going to be coming out, as far as, you know, like graphics and stuff,
they're a generation or two behind the graphics end of it.
Yeah, and I guess Nintendo's not really trying to be, you know, like Battlefield or whatever, but it's still, like, for someone who, like, might want to watch movies in 4K or, you know, might want to play some more intensive violent shooter games, you're not going to be getting the full experience.
See, I don't think that's what Nintendo's going after. I don't doubt that some of the games will be come out for it,
right?
But I still think they're going for the kids market.
Oh, exactly. You know, they're trying to do something where kids, and it's probably not going to be as expensive as your typical.
See, that right there was the question I was wondering. If this is going to cost $300, you're going to go $300 versus, you know, you can either get the new NX or you're going to get a PS4 or an Xbox One. To me, that's the easy choice. I mean, for me personally, I'm going to go with the Xbox One because you get something that has double, if not triple, the horsepower. You've got first-party games that are the style and type that I like.
Right. Well, but you're an adult.
Oh, yeah.
And for a parent who's going to be buying something for their kids, price is a big deal. And then the fact that there are wholesome games where there's not
death,
bloody carcasses everywhere,
yeah,
is probably going to be right up a kid's alley.
Yeah, see, I was also thinking, I want to talk a little bit more about the second screen experience. I was thinking, and this is kind of way out of left field and probably won't happen, is I really like that. Now, I could see, say, if Microsoft came out with their own, like an Xbox tablet, and it was solely based on secondhand experience. Now, they have, I think, what's it called, Microsoft Glass or whatever it's called. It's an actually companion app for the Xbox.
Yes.
See, I could see them coming up with a tablet or some sort of device that is second screen only that acts as a controller. See, for that, something I would buy because I really do love that experience. It just gets you deeper in it. There's a game that came out for the original Xbox called Steel Battalion. Came with 38 buttons, 2 joysticks, 3 foot pedals. It was a monstrous game that, to me, that wasn't all that fun. But you're bringing an element of realism, of tactile feedback into a game. And I think that second screen experience just adds a little bit more. Now, if Nintendo did that, if you could use that big controller as that and then use the other controller, you know, I think that would be perfect.
That's what the big screen does for the
Nintendo. Well, can you use that separately? Use, you know, use that as a second screen and just use the other controller?
No. You'd have to be using, because it's set up to where you've got the screen in the middle, and then you got the controllers on the other side. You'd be a good 12 inches apart from your hands. But I mean, it's not super uncomfortable. After a while, I can't imagine playing an intense game like that.
Maybe at this point I'm just I'm a little too old for it, because I liked the Wii. The Wii Sports is one of the funnest games known to man. And talking about that, we don't have a whole lot of time. We're coming up to break. We're going to be talking about games that came out when you were born. And for me, set the way back machine to the beginning of the 80s. Donkey Kong, I think, was the number one game at the time. If you don't know what that is, look it up, please, because it's really, how do you describe Donkey Kong?
Well, it's like
there's an ape on the top of a building that throws stuff at people.
Well, yeah, throws stuff down at Mario. Mario's trying to save. Yeah. Was she considered Princess Peach at the time?
No. And I think it was.
She was just a princess.
And I think it was Jumpman, I think, at the time.
Really? I always thought that he was Mario.
Mario. I don't know.
I think that's where Mario comes from, is Donkey Kong.
So what about yourself?
For me, it's also Donkey Kong, but Donkey Kong Country for Super Nintendo. That kind of shows you how young I am.
Wow, I remember when that came out.
That game's great, though. I had a Super Nintendo when I was growing up, and I had quite a few fun adventures with Donkey Kong Country. Although I liked Donkey Kong Country 2 a little bit better, Donkey Kong Country 1 was amazing. So one of the things that we'll do is we'll put this article up on the show notes for you, so you can see what games came out when you were born. So coming up, we're going to talk about a few more things that might interest you, involving LG's new phone displays and Lenovo. Stick around.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And we're back. So one of the things that is fun to note is LG Display is investing $1.75 billion into flexible LED screens. So they're trying to boost capacity for flexible organic light-emitting diode, or OLED, displays, and this latest attempt to meet the growing demand for mobile device makers. OLED is widely expected to replace liquid crystal displays for smartphones as the standard technology in a few years, and flexible displays can be curved or folded. So basically what LG is trying to do right now is they're trying to keep up with Samsung, because Samsung has been talking about doing this for a little bit. Any thoughts, John?
I'm still not sure if the idea of folding anything with a screen is a good idea. Honestly, it makes me a tad bit nervous. The curved displays, though, have an amazing amount of use cases. I'm jazzed. I think anything, for one, OLEDs draw less power. So anything that makes the battery life in any device, I'm for. Plus the fact they look freaking amazing.
They do.
Are inky, the colors pop.
One of the things that I just find interesting about being able to curve or fold your phone, you're gonna give me a dirty look here, but I like to put my phone in my back pocket. See, I keep my wallet on one side and my phone in the other. And so one of the things that's, kind of scary about doing that sort of thing, I had it happen with an HTC, is if you sit on your phone in the wrong kind of way, you can break your screen, depending on how flimsy your phone is.
Or depending on what 6 Plus you have, you may just bend it.
Yeah. So my LG doesn't have that problem because it's a solid hunk of plastic and glass. But when I had an HTC, it bent the phone and eventually broke the phone. Luckily for me, I had a warranty on that sucker. So I had that taken care of. But the idea of having a flexible phone is kind of nice for the kind of people who – and I know I'm not the only one out there. I see it all the time.
So wait, hold on. I have a disclaimer. If you happen to put your phone in your back pocket, we at GSMC's Technology Podcast recommend you get the aftermarket warranty, Apple Care Plus, or through every what store you happen to be shopping at.
You should also probably get like a Gorilla case or something.
Yes. OtterBox Defender, preferably, or better.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Was there anything else you wanted to say about this?
I'm jazzed to see where they're going. Now, this is a technology for me off the top of my head that I can only see a couple of uses. You're going to have the gimmicky curved phones.
Yep.
You're going to have, I don't know, the e-reader that you can curve. I'm looking forward to see what they use it for. Like, I'm even thinking of wacky ideas like a lampshade, for example, that's a curved LCD screen. So, like, your Twitter feed goes around the lampshade. I mean, so
sounds like something out of, like, a really bad Arnold Schwarzenegger sci-fi movie.
Right?
It like probably Total Recall or something.
Probably involves a TV show where people run around. I'm just looking forward to seeing the honest use case, because I want to know what they're thinking, because at the top of my head, I can't think of anything that's not gimmicky. They could do like the Samsung curved TV, for example. That's, in my opinion, still kind of a gimmick. There's a distance required and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I'm excited. Anything that enhances screen technology, I'm for, because we spend in the modern world most of our lives having to watch some sort of screen.
Right.
I mean, we're doing it as we speak and doing the podcast. So something that's better. By the way, from what I've seen, OLEDs, they're also easier on your eyes.
They are. Oh, God. And it might be nice for like people who like to read like e-books and stuff like that. Because I don't know about you, but if you're trying to read an e-book on your little phone, it's killer on your eyes.
See, I don't think, though, on that end, they're going to beat the e-ink technology. The e-ink, basically, it's like an electronic Etch-a-Sketch, the best way to put it. It only uses electricity when you hit the next page. That, for me, I have a Gen 1 Kindle. It barely works at this point, but the e-ink works the best. Now, if you're going to do like a media consumption device, say like the Kindle Fire, I think that's going to be better, because I think the battery life is going to be closer to the Kindle Paperwhite, for example, which
right.
you can charge and not have to, depending on how much you use it, for a week or two or longer. So battery life for me is number one. The way the screen looks to me is also important. Depending on what I think on what LCD, what type and age, you know, that the inks aren't black. They're slightly shades of gray.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're kind of a movie nut, especially one who wants like the color to be like the filmmaker intended, that'll drive you absolutely batty.
That's okay. Well, you mentioned earlier, this is kind of a sidebar, but I guess it has to do with screens in some way. You mentioned Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
I just think it's really funny to note that, like, in the movie, people are watching flat screen TVs, and note this movie came out in the 80s, so flat screen TVs weren't really a thing yet. So they're watching a giant flat screen TV in the middle of, like, Times Square or whatever. But then, like, you know, so they predicted flat screen TVs would be a thing, but then they're using, like, little mini tapes. So in the future, we use mini tapes, and we have flat screen TVs.
That's amazing that mini DV stayed around that long.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about mini DV tapes and OLED technology. The most interesting thing is happening right now. Lenovo just announced the ThinkPad XY Yoga has a 4K screen. It's also their first laptop that has an OLED display in it. There are other companies that have it. It's, from what I've read, it's actually the largest. HP Spectra X 360 convertible laptop and Dell's Alienware 13 have a 13.3-inch OLED screen. So Lenovo has the biggest at 14 inches. The price is roughly about $1,682. It's a premium price. Again, it's stuff we talked about. This is going to save the battery on a laptop. This is going to look better. It's going to perform better. It's a faster screen. It's going to be fairly amazing. It's going to have a rotating touchscreen, and the display is going to be at 256 by 1440, so it's going to be native 4K. It's going to weigh roughly 1.2 kilograms and is 17 millimeters thick. Wow.
Jeez.
And it's going to offer around 11 hours of battery life, according to Lenovo. Now, the only thing I've never understood when it comes to battery specs, like, it'll last 25 days with one charge, is what are you doing in those 11 hours? Because I guarantee if I'm watching a 4K movie, that battery ain't lasting 11 hours.
Or if you're playing Fallout 4, you better guarantee that battery's going to die.
Yeah, it's going to sink faster than Titanic. It's going to come with 128 gigabyte solid state drive, 8 gigabytes of RAM. That's the part that surprises me.
Yeah, if you're going to be putting all of this OLCD and all of this extra technology into it, why would you only go with 8 gigabytes of RAM?
Why not do 32 or 64? With that price, there better be an option for more. Because 8 gigabytes is nothing, especially with Windows 10.
It better be at least modular, because I know some laptops are modular enough to where you can actually replace the RAM.
At 11 millimeters, it's 17 millimeters thick. Oh, that's pretty thin.
Maybe that's part of the gimmick. Maybe the reason why there isn't so much RAM is just because of how thin it is.
Yeah, that's true. It'll be dual band Wi-Fi. Laptop will come with, get this, a 720p webcam. So you have an OLED display with a 4K, that's a 4K OLED display that has a 720p webcam. I get that. It'll have Web 3.0 micro SD mini display port HDMI slots. So this is a lot of bit of the new, a little bit of the old.
Yeah. Well, Lenovo is really good about being an affordable computer that usually runs fairly well.
This is $1,600. This isn't affordable. Yeah, this is their high end.
This is their high end.
This is why I'm surprised it has a 720p. At least do full HD.
You know, at that point, you might as well just be getting an Alienware computer or build a really nice desktop.
Bingo. I don't know. Part of this sounds amazing, but honestly, some of the specs, like, I don't use a web camera, but if I'm buying something that's capable of 4K, I want at least full HD out of the webcam. I'm sorry. I want at least 32 gigabytes of RAM, because I think if you're doing 4K, you're going to need the extra RAM.
Definitely.
Mini display port's awesome. Micro SD slot, I think you should just give a standard full-size SD slot and throw in an adapter. Because if you use any sort of professional camera, like say I've got like an actual news cameraman camera, I'm going to have to use an adapter just so I can use, you know.
Right.
So there's definitely, to me, some major drawbacks to this.
It doesn't sound perfect. That's for sure. Lenovo has been known to make really good affordable laptops. Like, if you're looking for something to just, you know, have affordable and still be able to play games on Steam, Lenovo is a good choice. But, this doesn't sound like a good choice. Make better choices.
Yes. Always be informed. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to do us a favor. I want you to subscribe to GSMC's Technology Podcast by going to gsmcpodcast.com. Click on the Technology Podcast. You can find us on iTunes and anywhere on the interwebs. I also want you to do us a favor. Go to our Facebook page. We're going to facebook.com, hitting the search bar at the top, and type in GSMC Technology Podcast. This is episode 20. Please find this episode. Now, I want you to do me a favor. Are we right? Are we wrong? Or do you have a story you would love us to do? Do me a favor, put that in the comment section. I guarantee you we'll find it. And I'm Jonathan Charney.
And I'm Shane Northrup.
And as always, thank you for listening.